This is In the Circle on Backstage News.
And we welcome you to this edition of In the Circle. Eric Lopez here alongside Victor Henry. Coming up, we're going to talk some Texas Tech softball with second-year head coach Craig Snyder. We'll also be joined by his star infielder, Kaylee Wyckoff, the reigning Big 12 Freshman of the Year. That's all coming up on this edition of In the Circle. Victor, where can they find us?
You can find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Make sure you rate us and review us 5 stars. We all know what it means. We've rated us 4 stars. Follow us on social media, subscribe to our YouTube channel, turn on those notifications, ladies and gentlemen. And make sure you stay in tune with us because we are literally at the halfway point of our Big 12 softball media week here on In the Circle.
Of course, and of course, we begin this episode with an interview I had recently with Craig Snyder in his second season as the head coach of the Texas Tech Red Raiders. And coming off a 31-win season last season, 9-win improvement from the year before, would he inherit it? I had a chance to talk to him about what it was like in his first year as a head coach, what he learned being around Texas Tech, as well as the growth of the program, the growth of the Big 12, and oh yeah, a return trip opening weekend to a place he knows very well. That's coming up right now. Craig Snyder in the Circle. Joining us now, he's in his second season as head coach of the Texas Tech Red Raiders, coming off a 31-win season. Of course, was a national champion as an assistant at Florida State back in 2018. I remember that because we talked a lot during that time in Oklahoma City and ever since. Among many of his track record there, of course, I speak of our good friend Craig Snyder joining us here on In the Circle. How you doing?
I'm good, Eric. Thanks for having me on today. Excited to be here and chat a little bit about this year and what's coming.
Well, we had you last time on the podcast when you just got to Lubbock, and we decided to let you kind of leave you alone as you kind of built the program and everything. So I'm curious, last year you went 31 games. When you reflect on last season as your first year as head coach, what come to your mind?
Gray hairs. No, I'm kidding. No, it was good. It was a good, successful first year. I think, you know, our staff, we really dove into the culture of what we're trying to grow. And, you know, we dove into those athletes. And I think we started a good foundation of what we want this to be and what that looks like. And, you know, and it's always going to have its ups and downs. And, you know, but what was important for us was getting the foundation right. And then it's always, you know, evolving, and you're still continuing to do that. But, you know, our first campaign through it, I mean, I felt like we really grew as a program, broke some records, did some things, and so it was good to see that.
Yeah, I think we had a 9-win improvement from the season before. What did you learn about yourself being in that chair now as the head coach? It's one thing to be the assistant or an associate head coach, but now you were the head coach. What did you learn about yourself in that first year that you want to apply and keep in mind in the back of your mind as you enter your second season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think you learn a lot. I think I could have written a book on things that I would have done differently, or things I would have said differently, or things how I would have operated differently. But I think at the end of the day, though, what really helped me was just our staff. Gosh, just having a great staff around us and, you know, that really were there as we kind of went through the ups and downs and figuring that piece out. And, I mean, you know, for me, this is my 25th year coaching college softball. And, you know, I've spent, you know, 23 of those years in the cages as a hitting coach. And, you know, now I think you learn that you have a finger almost in everything now, right? Like you need to be out there with defense. You need to be out there with infield, outfield, pitching, right? You're with the boosters. You're with, you know, what we were renovating a softball field. So I've been in meetings with that. And, you know, you wear a lot more hats than I think, you know, I realized at first, you know, but at the same time, that's also kind of the cool part of it is you get to, you know, it's your vision, right? It's what you want this to look like and how this, we want this to operate and how we want to build a field and how we want to do this and how we, so, you know, definitely, many hats now. And I think I always tell people, like, you know what you know when you know it, you know, and I learned a lot last year, and I think I continue to grow and learn. Yeah. I think that's never going to stop, you know, and so, but something I've really enjoyed, something I've really, you know, this is a different role, but I've really embraced that and enjoyed that and getting to have a piece of each part of the pie now.
You've worked with some great head coaches, you know, Lonnie Alameda, Joe Evans, to name a couple. There's more, obviously, but those two in particular. Was there a moment at some point last year or so where you were doing something as a head coach, and then you came to the realization, oh, now I understand why they were doing, and now they understand what they were doing during that time. And maybe you messaged them, said, I know what you go through now. Thank you for what you do.
Oh my gosh, there were so many of those moments, you know, where I would text Coach Evans or Coach Alameda or Coach McNutt and Coach Montgomery. I mean, saying it was just, you know, there's like, hey, I remember us talking about this, or I remember that. And then, you know, I've been so fortunate, gosh, in my career. I know we've talked about it before, but, you know, I've gotten to work for 3 Hall of Fame coaches, and, you know, and all of them have either played or coached or won a World Series. And gosh, I mean, just to be that lucky and be around that kind of caliber of a person and coach. And what you realize in that process is that everybody does it different. Everybody does things, you know, that it really fits their mold of what they want to look like. And that's what was so important for me. I did know going into this is that you need to be true to yourself. You need to be true to what you are and how you are and how you want to operate. But, you know, definitely there were some moments where you're like, oh, I understand why she said that, or I understand why, you know, we did it this way. And so you definitely understand that a lot more when you put the head coaching hat on. And, you know, I say this all the time. If I ever had to go back to being an assistant, I would be a way better assistant than I think I was before, for sure.
Well, tell us a little bit about your assistants now, your staff, and your vision for it, and your style now as coaching. As you enter your second season, you got a new pitching coach in Bryce DeColvey. You got Morgan Claverman, which makes me feel old because I covered her as a player, so that's depressing on a selfish matter. But nonetheless, you've got her on the staff. Just tell us a little bit about the entire staff.
Well, yeah, I mean, it started with Bryce. I mean, we made a change in the pitching department, and, you know, we found Bryce, and Bryce comes from, you know, I think the best pitching pedigree with Lonnie Alameda and how she manages pitchers and how we develop and grow pitchers and how we want to grow a culture. And he has done a phenomenal job with our staff and really embrace him, and our pitchers have embraced him and really have enjoyed what he has to offer to us. And so he's been great. And then obviously playing the men's game as well. You know, he still plays, he still pitches. So he's in the bullpen getting some reps in and doing the same thing. So he goes through the same challenges sometimes as the pitchers do. And so I think he can relate to that, and the athletes relate well with him with that as well. And so Morgan Claverman, you know, obviously on the 2018 national championship team, and, you know, she's come in and just done a phenomenal job. And then what's been really great about Mo is, you know, obviously she was my first recruit out of Texas when we were at Florida State. So Mo and I go way back with, you know, her family. And so it was good to, you know, have her addition to the staff, and brings a lot of knowledge about the game, but also she knew how I operated. So that was always going to be a feather in our hat. But, you know, and two, just the culture piece, right? Being able to talk about the culture we want to grow and how we want to do that. And she has been nothing but phenomenal with that. So really pleased to have her. And then, of course, on that culture piece too, we've got, you know, Pete Suarez, you know, who's our director of ops and helps us with player development. And he has been incredible. I always say that Pete's the backbone of what we do. You know, and again, he grew up through the system at Florida State. And, you know, I think, he knows exactly how we want to operate, what we want to do. And of course, Pete was with us at Texas A&M as well. And so Pete and I have been together for a long time, and, you know, understand how we want to operate and how we want to grow and develop and how we want to grow a program. And so Pete's great. And, you know, then the other one, you know, our last one is Roya St. Clair, which I can't say enough about Roya. You know, one of the things that you go through as, you know, going to transitioning to an assistant to a head coach is, you know, for me, I'm always in the cages, right? Always been in the cages. I've always been the person in the dugout that talks to the hitters and stuff. And she has been able to step in that role and by far surpass anything that I could do. She is incredible. And she has a great bedside manner with our hitters, you know, being in the hole. And that, which I've always said, I think that's the most important, position as a coach on the coaching staff, is the person that's talking to the hitters right before they get into, you know, on deck or on the plate, and being able to help them understand where they're at, how we're getting pitched. And she's done an incredible job with that. And the players love her, and she's a grinder, and, you know, she keeps me on task too. Gosh, she's organized, and, you know, I need that in my life a lot. So she's been great for me. And so, you know, I can't say enough about our staff and what we've grown. And, you know, we've even, this year, we have a student assistant coach, so Morgan Hornback, who played for us last year. And so we get Morgan for the next 2 years, which is great. So we get it for this season and the next season. And so, get a lot of good knowledge around our program right now, and a lot of, you know, youthful coaches that are keeping me young, because I feel like I'm getting older by the day, it seems like, I guess, in this role. But, they do a great job. They represent our program well. And, you know, I can't say enough about what they do for our program and, you know, representing Texas Tech.
let's talk about the offense, which, you know, set some records last year in your first year. I'm curious in a couple things. How much of your offensive philosophy were you all able to implement in your first year? Because that's a transitional year, right? You're learning the players you inherited. They're learning your style. It takes some time sometimes. So how much were you able to actually able to install versus now in the second year when most of the time, the second year is when that big boom. But you had a big boom uptick in the offense last year.
Yeah, I think we were able to implement a lot of stuff last year. Now, that's kudos to those players. You know, they did a great job. They embraced our staff. They embraced the philosophies. They embraced what we were doing training-wise. And they were tireless workers, you know, so that's on them. And they did a phenomenal job. And so, you know, we came in and, you know, you have these great ideas and these things that you want to implement that may have been successful, you know, at other schools or, you know, things you've seen with other athletes. But, you know, you never know if that's what the most impactful thing is going to be. And gosh, to see some of the numbers that some of them put up last year that maybe haven't done that in their career, was just really cool to see and just see them enjoy the game and have fun again and get to do something they haven't done before, you know? And so, I mean, I think about some of the players that graduated, like the Ellie Baileys and the Peyton Blythe. I mean, just put up some monster numbers that they haven't done before, you know? And then you find the Katie Wyckoffs of the world that come in and, you know, all of a sudden she's the Big 12 freshman of the year. And, you know, I don't know. It was really neat to see. And I know we've got a lot of those kids back this year too. They can do a great job for us. I mean, Mackenzie Herzog was another one, you know, just put up some great numbers for us. And so it was fun to be able to coach them up, be able to, you know, be in their hip pocket and, you know, for our staff to do that as well. I mean, it wasn't a me thing. It was a we thing. And it was really encouraging to see. And, you know, I get excited about as we move forward into this year. And I think it's, you know, this year could be different. You know, last year I did think going into the season that we would, we'd steal a lot of bases. I thought we had a lot of good team speed and I thought we'd steal a lot of bases. Well, then we hit 90 something doubles. So we didn't have to steal second as much, you know, and so you go, oh, wait a second. This is what we're doing. Okay, great. And I hope that's the case this year. I hope that's the case that we can hit the ball in the gap or lose over the fence. That's always, you know, a plus because if you're going to face elite pitching, you know, you're going to have the ability to get the ball in the air and get it to the big part of the park, you know, and so, that's something we talk about and we try to focus on is like we practice hitting extra base hits, you know, and, you know, and so we'll see what happens this year. But last year was really fun. And again, that's all credit to the athletes.
Well, you mentioned Kaylee Wyckoff, the Big 12 freshman of the year, was a D1 softball freshman, All-American, put up incredible numbers. Did you see that coming, like from day one, that she would produce that quickly, especially in a league like the Big 12? And what makes her such a great player?
Yeah, no, it's funny. You know, Wiki and I talk about this often. You know, her fall of her freshman year, you know, she struggled. She struggled. And, you know, which is always sometimes a good thing for a freshman to come in and kind of struggle because you get to figure out that hard part, right? You get to figure out the failure, you know, because they have to learn how to fail. Because guess what? It's coming. It's going to come in your career. You're going to fail. You're going to have hard times. And if we can figure out that balance early, it's a great thing. And she had to figure it out early because her fall was tough. And then she steps into the role about the first or second weekend and just goes off, just absolutely goes off. Did we think that she had it in her? Absolutely. She's an athlete. We knew she was an athlete. It was just a matter of give her the opportunity to be able to shine. And she took it and ran with it. Gosh, she took it and ran with it. And that was one of the most feared hitters there in the nation for a long time last year. And so, you know, yeah, it was really fun to see her grow into herself. And then she's been great, you know, since, you know, this fall and in the spring and just a mature hitter already as a sophomore. So excited to see what, you know, she can do. And I told her, I said, hey, listen, you know, this year isn't about trying to repeat. This is about being good right now, you know, being present and living and learning how to live pitch by pitch. Cause you're going to have a lot of questions, right? You're going to have all these questions about how did you repeat last year? And the answer is you don't. You don't. You stay present and you continue to grind and do what made you successful last year.
She leads this offense, but there's others that return that will help to produce the offense. And you got some new faces as well as you've added to the roster. Just tell us a little bit of the identity of this offense this year coming up and some of the faces and players that I think fans, when they watch your team play, will get to, if they haven't known already, will get to know.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. We've got a lot of different weapons this year. And you talk about some of the freshman class coming in. We've got some really talented freshmen. And I think there can be some really, some good freshmen that can really turn some heads this year. So excited about that. With returners, you think about, Ariana Villa, she had a great season for us last year. And we've got, a lot of different, players, I think, that can really, Alana Barraza, that's another one that really had a great year last year, kind of a breakout year for her, who's had a great fall. And, we got a lot of senior leadership this year, and we added some players to that roster too, with the Aubrey Barnharts and Jinda Lords and, the Maddie Wrights. Like, those are some good additions offensively that I think can really help us propel the offense. And I think what's always cool about the second year is I think you have a lot of people step up that maybe struggled a little bit last year, but they've started to learn the system and they're starting to learn, how to operate and how to go. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what this crew can do. We open up in Tallahassee, so I get some great pitchers, with Charlotte and Florida State. And so we'll be challenged right off the bat. And that's exactly what we need. It's exactly what we need to help, get us ready for Big 12 play.
How do you feel about your defense? Cause as well as anybody, you want a national title. You have a ring, and in part, because that defense, that Florida State team play, we were there, one of the most iconic plays in the history of the World Series, that play by Jesse Warren at third base against Washington in Game 1. I will never forget that. I don't think you'll forget that. Nobody that had watched it will ever forget it.
Not.
So tell us a little bit, how do you see this defense right now, and where do you see certain pieces kind of fitting in?
Yeah, defensively, I think we're going to play a lot better game of softball this year. One thing that Bryce has really brought into our staff that we've really appreciated is this: we're going to be positioned a lot better, and we're going to be calling pitches to that positioning, and so, which is a big part of this. It's a big part of how you want to operate. And so, I'm looking forward to that. We're going to have a lot more opportunities, to get outs for our pitchers and do some things. And so I'm excited for that, and we're going to be pretty senior heavy out there on defense. So they know what's going on. I think if you watch this last year's team versus this year's team, you're going to see us play a little better brand of ball defensively. You're going to see us take care of the ball a little bit more. And we've definitely been focused on that throughout the fall and into the spring preseason now, and just really taking care of the ball. Because at the end of the day, if you're going to make a postseason run, if you're going to be a team that's, in postseason, you got to play catch and throw. You have to. That's at the end of the day, catch and throw is the name of the game. And I'm an offensive person. I love to see a lot of runs score, but I've also been on the wrong end of some things where you score a lot of runs and you give up a lot of runs. And so, and a lot of times things can speed up defensively. So, I think it comes with the smarts of the game too. Honestly, we've, really kind of honed in our athletes. Let's talk about the smarts and how we want to set up for this, and being able to move around in counts and understand where, if we throw this pitch, this is probably what's going to happen with this hitter. So we've been educating them a lot on that. So I'm looking forward to seeing what that looks like for us in the spring.
Pitching wise, you got five pitchers on the staff. Obviously, one that jumps out to me is Sage Hoover, who I think really impressed me when I got a chance to see her from time to time. Just talk about your five pitchers there and your staff that obviously Bryce DeColvey will has been working with.
Well, I think the biggest thing you're going to see with the staff this year is that it is going to be a staff. It's going to take all of us, getting out and really trying to keep hitters off balance. Bryce has developed these pitchers extremely well. They have all grown. They've grown in spin and location, and they've grown, in their speed as well. They're all stronger. They move better. And so it's been really neat to see. You'll see a lot of different looks this year, which is going to be great. You're going to see ones that spin it up, ones that spins it down. And, so I think we'll have an arsenal to really throw it, on offense now to try to keep them off balance and keep us in games and give us a shot now. And so, but I can't say enough about their development and how well they've just grown since September till now and what they've embraced with Bryce and what they've done. So I'm looking forward to that, Eric. I think it's going to be a good staff, that's going to really show a lot of different looks to everybody.
And you have to have a staff for many reasons. The Big 12, it's a tough league. It's a top league. So you have to have as many arms. Plus, I know your park, especially depending on how the wind goes, that ball flies. Did you pick up on that? How quickly did you pick up on that with that stadium there? And that's one of the other reasons why you need, certainly by committee and staff to help there.
Well, it's so funny. I remember a previous coach telling me that you can't hit home runs in Lubbock. And I'll never forget the first center squad we have. And I'm like, wait a second. I don't think that's the case. And now we'll say the wind blows a lot, and it will blow, it'll blow in from right, it'll blow right to left to right, or it'll blow out. You know, rarely do we have it coming dead in. But it is interesting, you know, and so, there's a lot of different weather patterns that come through Lubbock. This is one of the few places I've lived. You know, everybody talks about their weather and how it's volatile and whatnot. This is truly a place that you may need three outfits that day. You may need some because it's snowing in the morning. It's 70 in the afternoon and it could be raining, you know, midday. Who knows? So it is being able to keep people off balance, especially if the wind's not in your favor on a defensive side, is huge. It's huge being able to keep the ball down and hitting our spots and attacking hitters. That's so big because it makes it scary when you sometimes at a park that where the ball flies out, because now you're always one swing away. Now on the flip side, that's what we tell our offense too. We're always one swing away. Keep swinging. You know, give yourself a shot because, you know, a 3-run home run can put you right back in a game or take a lead now or extend a lead. So, you know, it can be pretty volatile. That's for sure.
When we had you on the podcast, when you took over the job, you said two things that were reasons for you taking the job that you liked was family, obviously, being closer to family. But number two, also being in Texas and recruiting that talent, which obviously you did at Texas A&M. And having those connections and ties, which I know is something that A&M that Texas Tech liked as well when they brought you in. Talk about that standpoint of the recruiting impact since you've taken over that program. And has it been a smooth transition for you there going from A&M to Texas Tech and maintaining those connections?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, we've been able to really dive into the state of Texas and do a good job there. But I think what's given us a more and easier pipeline too is that we've been able to go out of state as well. So, you know, as we look at the class coming in next year, you know, it was the number two ranked recruiting class. And so, which is exciting for us. I mean, now we've got two kids out of state that are coming in, and then we've got a lot of kids in state. And so I'm excited for that piece. And, you know, it shows that, hey, we can get kids out here. You know, we can get kids to Lubbock. It's actually pretty easy to fly into. And so, you know, we've done a really good job of that. I'm proud of our first recruiting class coming in, that 24 class. And, you know, I think, and, you know, the availability of that too. So, I've loved that piece, you know, and I think people, you know, one thing I've noticed about, this area and this school is if you're a Red Raider, you love the Red Raiders. You know, our fan base is passionate. They love, you know, they love winners and they love it. So when you have people that are alumni or have children, they want to see their kids come to Lubbock and be Red Raiders. And so that's been a good feather in our hat. And, it's been fun to kind of see that and really get to meet people and talk about that piece and get to share, you know, our vision for the program.
Obviously in Big 12 this year, unique. It'll be Oklahoma and Texas as last year in the Big 12. It's UCF, Houston, BYU's first year. We'll have new members next year as well. Arizona State, Arizona, Utah coming in. Your thoughts on the league in particular this year with the growth of the league here and just so many great intriguing storylines, and for this league.
Yeah, I mean, I think our Commissioner Yormark's done a great job with the Big 12. I think 2-3 years ago, the Big 12 was starting to kind of, you know, it seemed like it might have been a dying league as the announcement comes out that Texas and Oklahoma are leaving. And, you know, what are we going to do now? Well, he goes out and does a great job and we pick up, you know, BYU, we pick up Houston, we pick up UCF and, you know, Cincinnati, which doesn't have softball, but another great school, you know, and I love that fingerprint, right? Like now all of a sudden we're East Coast to West Coast, right? So now we got UCF, which is a thumbprint in the Florida now. We've got BYU, a thumbprint in the West Coast. And so, and then with the exit of the other two teams this year, or after this year, then you're adding three perennial powerhouses. We're adding three, you know, World Series contenders, right? World Series champions, you know, I mean, with the storyline of just Arizona and, you know, they're so many years of winning national championships and competing for, you know, in the World Series. Arizona State's, you know, they've done nothing but a phenomenal job and, you know, their staff is incredible. And then Utah just coming off a World Series run. And so, you know, I think collectively we get better and I love that. I love that. And again, we got a thumbprint now on West Coast to East Coast. And so, and who knows, Eric, you know, I think, this conference alignment stuff is crazy. I don't think it's over. I think that we'll probably see more movement in conferences and things. And so it seems like it's ever evolving, but I'm excited from the softball standpoint. I think we're going to have a great league, with a lot of great coaches and continue to push the envelope to be the top conference in the nation.
Well, that was something that intrigued you when you took the job. You told me about that, because you've coached in the SEC, obviously, during your time at A&M. You've coached in the ACC. Now you went through that first year in the Big 12. What did you learn about the Big 12 going through it that first year? And it sounds like you're convinced you could be the top league in the sport moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think we are the top league. I mean, we continue to win national championships, you know, with that. And, you know, obviously, you know, one of those teams is leaving. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I think we're top to bottom. We're going to have teams in postseason, you know, and I think, you know, I reflect on the SEC there for a while. We had a run where every team got in the postseason. I see that being the case with the Big 12. You know, I think eventually we're going to see it, that this is a league that's going to get everybody into postseason at some point, because we're not far off as it is. And so I think these coaches continue to push the envelope on that. I think they continue to grow and recruit, and, you know, I see us doing that. And so, you know, and it's a challenge. Gosh, it's a challenge when you go play at Oklahoma, and then you go play at Texas, and you go play in Oklahoma State, and then you go play at Baylor, and then at BYU. I mean, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop, and you're going to get everybody's best every day in a three-game series trying to figure that piece out. And so, you know, I get excited about that. I get excited about the, you know, where this conference is headed and what we can do with it.
It was the number one conference RPI-wise last year. And I think men's basketball has proven – you know, those new members have added to the strength of the league in men's basketball, which is lapping, really, quite honestly, if you look at all the metrics, it is lapping the sport as far as the top conference. Like, some people thought, well, maybe they're going to be as strong as they've been. Yeah, they're even stronger. And I feel the same way. We're headed in that direction here with softball, with the new additions this year with UCF, which you know very well from your time at Florida State and the job Coach Paul Malone's done, 40-plus wins. Houston, who you're familiar with from your time at A&M, and that the program's lineage there and the talent pool around that area. And then the job Gordon Eakin's done at BYU, they've been a perennial postseason team as well. So I feel like it's getting stronger and deeper, and it's going to be the same case a year from now.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree with that. And again, I think we've added three great programs. Three great programs are going to continue to push the envelope for our conference. You know, and you mentioned the basketball thing. Yeah, I mean, gosh, look what UCF's doing basketball-wise right now. I mean, doing a phenomenal job. You know, they're pushing the envelope and just making everybody better. So, again, iron sharpens iron, and I think that's what we're doing in the Big 12 right now.
Looking at your schedule, you're going to be on the road for the most part, the first month of the season up until March. But obviously, you alluded to it earlier, that first weekend in Tallahassee, Joanne Graff Field. I think you're familiar with that facility a little bit.
Been there a few times.
You play Charlotte and, oh yeah, Florida A&M. Oh yeah, Florida State. What is that going to be like for you? We had Coach Alameda on, and the second that we talked about the schedule and that tournament came up, a big smile came in her face when she brought up Texas Tech coming in and kind of a homecoming, if you will. What is that going to be like for you and your staff? Like more, you know, Morgan, who have ties there.
Yeah, I mean, I get excited about it, right? I mean, we've all got, a lot of us have ties there, and that's going to be nice. But I think more so, Eric, I mean, it's about our kids getting to compete in that environment, because what coach has done there in the environment she's created, and gosh, it's just, I want our athletes to feel that and see that and like understand what a postseason atmosphere looks like. And yeah, we've got a lot of ties there. We're going to get to see a lot of, you know, familiar faces that we've seen and grown up with and grown up through the sport. But, you know, our athletes being able to compete in that environment against a great team it's everything, you know, and that's what's going to make us better. And so, you know, I reflect on last year, and I think sometimes we missed some competition we needed to be playing last year, you know, and that's okay. That's part of it. We had to learn and grow and learn how to win. And, you know, this year we're going to challenge ourselves. And so you got Florida State, but then you got Charlotte. I mean, Coach Chastain has done a phenomenal job there. We're going to get those guys twice. And so then they are no slouch whatsoever. And it is going to be a battle with us. You know, we're going to battle with them, and they're well coached. They're well managed. They're well trained. And so, you know, and then Florida A&M, you know, they've done a great job. They always are they're pesky, and they're going to be a great softball team. And so it's a great weekend. It's a great weekend. And, you know, our goal is to get out there and learn and grow as much as possible, you know, and be able to take some of the highs and lows away, and then be able to work forward to that and get used to our Big 12 schedule.
When you see Travis Wilson there, who's the first one to crack a joke? Or is it just intense? Are you ignoring each other? What is that going to be like with you two?
Oh no, we'll give each other a hard time, I'm sure, back and forth. As always, it'll be like we've never left.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? And you're right. You got to focus about your players. It's about winning the games there. But I'm sure there's going to be a moment as you drive into that campus, there's going to be some memories that are going to pop in your head probably there, for you there. I mean, that's, you know, it's, you know, you've been to obviously many places, you've coached in many places, but you know, that's a place that's very special to you guys. And that's going to be amazing, to see what it will be like for you once you step in there and what hits you there from a memory standpoint. And then obviously the games get going and you play, but still, that's going to be unique for you.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, I reflect on my time in my 9 years at Florida State and the World Series appearances and the national championships and just the ups and downs, you know, and from when we grew the program and from 2012 to where it is now. And, you know, a lot of great memories, a lot of great people and a great university. And so, I am looking forward to that. That will be special, but I love the fact that we get to go play at that park, that facility in front of some great fan base. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be really fun.
You're also going to be playing at a Texas State at a tournament there. They're really good there. I mean, a good field there at North Texas. So you're going throughout the whole state. And there, of course, you will eventually open Big 12 play at Provo against BYU. Just tell us a little bit about your philosophy about the rest of that schedule to get you ready for Big 12.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, our goal is to try to play some great teams and be in great tournaments. And also, like, I want to be able to take our athletes home. And so to be able to get back down to the San Marcos area, we've got some athletes from the San Antonio area and the Central Texas area, but then also be able to play in Denton, you know, some athletes we have from the Dallas area. And so I think it's very unique and special when we can do that and play great competition. And both tournaments are chock full of great teams that are going to challenge us, but we'll also be able to be around family, which is a big deal. And I love that. And so looking forward to that, looking forward to our home tournament. Where we could kind of unveil the new, you know, the new digs, if you will, the new field, which I'm excited about. You know, the renovations that have taken place, and then jump right into Big 12 play for 9 weekends straight. So looking forward to that.
Do tell. Give me more detail of the renovations. What can people look for there when they go to a Texas Tech home game?
Yeah. So we you know, it was really amazing when I took the job. We had a booster reach out, and they donated $1 million to the program. And John and Tracy Sellers are naming this. They donated to football and donated to softball. And Tracy played softball here, and you know, and it's been on their heart. They wanted to really help the program. So we took that. We put a turf outfield and skirted in out, and so we took care of that because the field hadn't been really touched since 2000 when it was first built. And then the next piece was, you know, wall padding, adding that piece in there and just kind of some graphics and doing things like that. And then the next phase of that is covering over the stadium. So that won't happen this year, but we're working on our designs on that now and being able to raise funds and do that. And we've got a lot of generous, you know, boosters out here that are jumping in and wanting to help the program. So we'll be covering the stadium at some point, here in the next year or two. Then renovating locker rooms, right? Updating those and doing some things with that. So yeah, a lot of cool stuff, but the first two pieces were, you know, renovating the field itself, our playing surface and, the turf's down. It looks sharp, looks good. And then adding the wall padding, new wall padding in and, looking forward to that. They're still working on that now, but should be done here in the next couple of weeks.
That's awesome. Congrats. I did not know that. That's awesome that the you know, building it, although it shouldn't surprise me because I've seen, you know, people have visited there. I mean, obviously the success they're starting to have in football, obviously the great interest there. Baseball's had great, success there. Men's basketball's having success. I mean, it seems like as a, you know, as a department there at Texas Tech, there's a lot of growth going on, with the success there. And the, you mentioned earlier that the passion that alumni and the fans have for their sports there. So that maybe I shouldn't be surprised. That's awesome, though, that they're contributing to the softball program.
Absolutely. No, it's a great place, you know, and when you get here, you realize that. You realize how special it is and how special Texas Tech is and, you know, our Red Raider Nation fans and how passionate they are and, you know, and how supportive they are. I mean, by the end of the year last year in our series, we were having sellout crowds and, you know, that hasn't happened in years. And so I love that piece and love the passion for the fans and that we get to, you know, interact with them and do that, but also put a great product on the field, but also continue to, you know, grow our facilities and stuff. Cause we know in college athletics, it's an arms race facility wise, right? And so, you know, we're always trying to, you know, how can we fix this? How can we be better? Even last year, we put a new bullpen in last year behind left field and cool thing for our pitchers last year and this year too is now when we call to the pen, they get to run through the outfield fence. It's like almost like a major league baseball player, you know, running, you know, through the end. So we call to the pen and they come through the left field fence now versus coming out of the dugout. So get your walk up song and everything else. So a little wrinkle, a little special thing that we do out here.
That's awesome. Fantastic. I'm glad to hear the fan support too. And then certainly great softball ahead. It'll get going in February. You mentioned you'll start the season in Tallahassee. And this will be my last question before I let you go is, what is going to be some keys for your team this year? What are a couple questions maybe as you get into the season that you're looking forward to finding out about your team that you can only find out playing other competition that could be a key in the success of the season?
Yeah, well, I think the big one we look at is, right, is, you know, can we keep the runs off the board this year? You know, we leaked a lot of runs last year, and I mean, that was no secret to anybody. You know, this year's looking forward to, okay, like, how can we minimize that? And that's going to be a little more strategically defensively, but also just pitching wise and how we call and everything else. But, you know, and can we score runs, you know, and we graduated a lot of those home runs last year, you know, but so who's going to step up? You know, I'm looking forward to who steps up because every team always seems to have somebody that steps up that, you know, maybe that surprises you, you don't realize. And so I'm looking forward to seeing who that is this year. I'm looking forward to seeing that person who steps up and really, you know, evolves in the offense and helps us continue to score runs and win ball games. So, you know, it's always exciting. It's like Christmas morning, right? You open up presents and to see what it looks like. And so we're getting close to the final countdown here. So, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what this year brings to the program in year two. And, you know, I know we're just going to continue to learn and grow, right? You know, we're still growing the foundation, still growing the culture, but, you know, I truly believe that our staff and our players were on the right track of what we're trying to do. And, you know, I think we're not far from looking up and seeing ourselves making deep runs in postseason here very soon.
And I look forward to seeing it. Your team will start obviously in Tallahassee in February, and it should be an exciting year. And I've enjoyed following your career, and I'm so excited and happy for you that you're a head coach where you should have been a head coach for a while now. But hey, you're now a head coach. You're still doing it, and I'm happy for you, man. And I follow you closely. Thanks for always taking the time to talk to me and coming on the show here to talk softball. Always a pleasure, and I know we'll cross paths. But thanks for doing this.
No, thank you, Eric. I always feel honored and humbled every time you ask me to be on here. So I appreciate what you do for our sport, and thanks for having me.
And thanks again to Coach Snyder for joining us here on In the Circle, Victor. And certainly Texas Tech, Craig Snyder in his second season. It's going to be interesting to see the growth there. And of course, you had the growth with the Big 12. You had the great year last year with Kaylee Whitecoff, who we'll hear from later in the show. Mm-hmm. But what stands out to you about Texas Tech's schedule? Because I know what stood out to me, and I asked him about it, and that's that opening weekend in Tallahassee, mm-hmm. a place he knows very well.
Very, very familiar with the surroundings over in Tallahassee. Now, the next week, he'll come back to his home state to be in a tournament with Texas, hosted by Texas State. We'll take on Sam Houston, Tulsa, and, of course, Texas State, among others. Now, the thing with Texas Tech, Eric, when you look at their non-conference schedule, they play Minnesota in a tournament that's going to be hosted by North Texas. Also, Stephen F. Austin is going to be in that tournament. They will be hosting a tournament at Rocky Johnson Field, but it'll take on Merrimack, who's in transition from D2 to D1, UTEP, and New Mexico State. So expect a lot of offense in that tournament. They will open up their Big 12 season on the road versus new league member BYU March 7th through the 9th. And then the next weekend, three-time national champion Oklahoma come a-calling to Rocky Johnson Field. Now, the stretch that I'm looking for, Eric, with Texas State, it's going to be the final 3 weekends before the Big 12 tournament. They go to Stillwater to take on Oklahoma State. They go to Houston to take on the Cougars. And in the end of regular season, May 3rd through 5th, hosting Texas. Those three series can determine what the Red Raiders may need to do in the Big 12 tournament the following week in Oklahoma City to maybe sneak them in into the NCAA tournament as one of those, the final at-large team in.
You're right. And, you know, Texas Tech, Iowa State, you know, Kansas, some teams we already talked about. These are those teams that are kind of right there on the fence. One thing we, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the pitching develops too at Texas Tech. I think we're confident they're going to score some runs. And it helps when you have the reigning freshman of the year in Kaylee Whitecoff. And when we return on this edition of In the Circle, you'll hear my conversation with Kaylee Whitecoff. What it was like to win that freshman of the year in the Big 12, as well as her journey to Texas Tech, which was not destined to go there, but fate, as you have it, intervened. We'll talk about that and much more with Kaylee Wyckoff when we return on this edition of In the Circle.
And folks, we keep talking about this because we want you to understand what we're doing here. Big 12 Media Days, two episodes each day, one at 11 a.m., 10 a.m. Eastern, one at 3 p.m., 2 p.m. Central Time. We will announce our guest 9 a.m. the day of, so you know who we have coming up with Texas Tech and our other schools. That's why it's important to follow us on social media at In the Circle SB, so that way you know who's coming up down the pike and who we've already had on our Big 12 softball media week. And Eric, when you talk about star power in the Big 12, of course we know about what Oklahoma State, Texas has, but very quietly, Eric, Texas Tech may have themselves a star of their own who is looking to prove that last year is a sign of things to come.
You're right about that. Of course, she made history last year, winning Freshman of the Year for Texas Tech, a first for the program, but that's nothing new. Kaylee Wyckoff was her big weapon offensively, led them in a lot of marquee offensive categories. Not bad for a player that was going to go to Stephen F. Austin until a coaching change made her rethink things and happened to fall in love when she took a visit to Lubbock, Texas. Those are some of the topics that I had a chance recently to catch up with Kaylee Wyckoff that you'll get to hear right now, right here in the Circle. Joining us now, she was the Freshman of the Year in the Big 12, obviously all Big 12 performers on the preseason all Big 12 team. She led Texas Tech in just about almost every offensive category you could think of, ladies and gentlemen. I speak of Kaylee Wyckoff, who's kind enough to join us here right after practice. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Just tell us a little bit about this team this year. I'm curious to see what's been it like here now in your second season and with some of the players obviously getting used to Coach Snyder.
Yeah, I think the team is still, you know, the same team that we had last year, even though we had five seniors depart. I still think that we're the same team. You know, we're all gel together, and I think we're really deep both ways, pitching and hitting. So I'm really excited to see what we can do this year.
You won 31 games last season there. And obviously you were a big part of that. When you look back at last season, what comes to your mind?
I love the way that we were still there for each other, even if, you know, we did have some losses where, you know, it was hard, but to look back on it and know that every single girl on this team still has my back, whether or not I did good, whether or not, you know, we all did good or bad, we still had each other's back and we were there to pick each other up.
You mentioned this year you like the depth that you have on this team. Tell us a little bit about some of your teammates that people maybe should be on the lookout for when they watch Texas Tech this season.
So there's transfer. There's Maddie Wright. She's going to be both ways for us this year. I'm really excited to see what she can do. And there's, you know, Sage coming back too. I'm super excited about that. And me and Kennedy, and we also have two freshman catchers too that I'm really excited to see where they, you know, take this year too.
What have you worked on personally in your own game? You had such a great season, which was amazing. We'll get to about your freshman season, but now you enter your sophomore season. You know, teams are going to try to be, you know, get ready. You're kind of a target from that standpoint. How do you prepare for that?
I think just mentally knowing that there's going to be even more challenges this year, this upcoming year, that, you know, people know how to pitch me now. They know what to pitch me now because they've watched film and all that. And I think just getting over the mental hump of knowing that, you know, I can still beat them and they're still the same pitcher. They're still the same people they were last year. So
describe Craig Snyder and his coaching style, especially, you know, coming with the offensive side of the ball.
He's very I would say he's very family oriented. Like, he still stresses that, you know, like, if we're not doing so hot hitting that day, somebody else is going to pick you up. You know, you always have your back. There's always, there's 26 girls on this team, and somebody's always going to have your back if you're not having your best day. And I think that he stresses that a lot to us. And, you know, that's kind of the mindset that we've always had.
For those that have not watched you play, how would you describe someone who Kaylee Whitecoff is as a player?
That's a good question. I've never thought about that. I would like to say I'm pretty fun and upbeat when I play, because I think I'm super competitive, and I love being with my team. I love playing with every single one of these girls. It's super fun. They're super fun to be around on game days, and I love the atmosphere that we create every single game day. So,
what got you into playing softball? How long? When did you start playing softball? What got you hooked?
So I think I was 4 years old when I started playing T-ball. I think it was like a rec league in my hometown, and I just kind of picked it up. You know, I played a few other sports here and there. I was a gymnast for a while, and I played volleyball. I did play volleyball in high school, and, you know, I love softball so much. I love the team aspect, and I was so competitive at it. And growing up with, you know, a lot of these girls that I see now in college doing so good, I just wanted to keep playing in college. I knew softball was for me.
Describe you as a gymnast and a volleyball player. It's funny, a lot of softball players play volleyball and vice versa. That's I don't know what it is. That's fascinating. But just tell me about that, your experience there playing volleyball and then being a gymnast.
I think my mom put me in gymnastics to try and, I think it was kind of like, we're going to throw you in dance kind of thing. And I was tiny growing up. I was always very small compared to the rest of the girls in my class, because even though I was, the younger of my, like, people, or like the group of girls I was playing with and like competing against, I'm still the older one in my class and in school. So, like, I think it was just kind of like we'll try it out. And then it didn't seemingly work out for me in the way that we thought it was going to. So, and then when I got to high school, I tried basketball in middle school, and I didn't really like it, but I loved volleyball. So I played club volleyball for a little bit. And then the schedule was hard to manage with softball, because club volleyball is also a spring sport. Yeah. So it was just a little bit too hard to manage, and I had to give it up, because I knew softball is where I was supposed to be.
What position did you play in volleyball?
I was a setter.
Wow, the setter position. Was there any aspects of volleyball that's helped you in softball? Because, again, I'm so fascinated. There are so many softball players that have said they played volleyball. And I've talked to many volleyball players in Division I that said they played softball. So there's clearly some sort of a unique connection there. I know, you know, so what was it for you? How do you think volleyball maybe helped you in softball?
I think it helped with my hand-eye coordination a lot. Because, you know, as a setter, I was using my hands a lot, but I also had to be able to see out of my peripheral the other side of the net to know who I was going to set. And I think that really helps me with, like, tracking the ball in as a catcher, and, like, being able to block balls and pick balls and even, like, see different pitches when I'm hitting.
That's a great point. That makes a ton of sense with the hand-eye coordination. Did you have a favorite athlete growing up, either in softball or just in sports in general, that inspired you?
I would probably say my favorite athlete was J.J. Watt growing up. I loved him. I loved how he was, you know, also a family guy. He grew up and he just, you know, was always, I could tell he was always super fun to be around, and he was so competitive all the time. And I actually, when I was playing select softball growing up, I was number 99.
Really?
Yes, I was.
Oh, 99. So how did the JJY, was he just watching him play? Were you a Texan fan? Like, did you become a Texan fan because of him? What's the story behind the JJY?
Well, I'm from Katy, Texas, which is about an hour west of Houston. So I was always a Texans fan growing up. And yeah, I would always watch him on Sundays.
You still follow the Texans? Are you still following them? You following the Texans?
Yeah.
That was a good year this year.
Yeah, it was.
You know, CJ Stroud and company getting to the divisional round. That's pretty cool there. You mentioned you're from Katy, Texas. Describe Katy, Texas for anybody that's not been there.
I always try to describe Katy as a small town that feels big, because when you're there, you drive around Katy and you're like, oh, this is definitely a small town. Like, we have one main road, one main highway that everyone drives down, but you know every single person that walks through that town. Like, if you go to the store, there's always somebody that you know and you can say hi to. If you go to, I don't know, go hit somewhere, there's always somebody else there. You're like, oh, I played with them. Or so it's, I feel like it's still very big, even though the part of Katy where I'm from, the city of Katy, is growing drastically in the last few years. But the part where I'm from, I feel like it's still very small hometown feel.
How did you end up at Texas Tech? Well, take us through that process and deciding to go to Texas Tech.
So before this, I was going to SFA. I was signed under Coach Dixon. And then when she decided to leave, I also decided to decommit there. And when I heard about Texas Tech, I, you know, came up here and visited the campus with my mom, and we walked around, and I was like, I know that this is where I need to be. This feels exactly like my hometown. They had my major. They had everything I loved. You know, Lubbock itself is a college town, so everybody will know who you are, and they're always about Texas Tech. So I knew that this is where I needed to be.
That's incredible. Do you wonder sometimes if it was just things that are meant to be, like things happen for a reason, and that you were meant to end up in Lubbock?
Yes, I say that all the time. I actually have a tattoo on my right forearm that says everything happens for a reason. And I truly believe it, that everybody, that like everything happens in my life for a reason. And I was put here for a reason.
I agree with that. Describe being a student at Lubbock here at Texas Tech. What's it like being a student?
It's, everybody here is super helpful. If we ever do need any, you know, help with schooling or anything like that, there's always somebody you can call. You know, some of the girls on the team are also taking some of the same classes that I am right now. So we always have like group study sesh and like stuff like that. And we just, you know, feed off of each other, whether it's like, I have a class right now, with Jenna Lord, and we always go to study hall and we study together all the time. So there's always somebody in your corner that you can come talk to, and there's always tutors that can help, and our academic advisor is super, super helpful. She's so cool. So
the Big 12 this year has got some new members. UCF, BYU, and Houston are joining the league. So you're going to have a lot of people over the next couple of years going over to Lubbock, Texas for the first time. Where would you recommend fans and people to go if they go visit Lubbock, Texas?
Like to eat?
Yeah, you could be eat or just check out anything, whatever you think is they should do. A bucket list thing. If you go to Lubbock, you make sure you do the blank.
So the first thing I would say, which is probably gonna sound really funny, is we have a lot of, you know, desert land, and that calls for a lot of prairie dogs. So we have a prairie dog town. It's literally called Prairie Dog Town, and there's a little coffee shop that you can go to while you're there, and there's a little lake, and there's just prairie dogs running all around on the ground that you can watch if you wanted to.
I'm glad you brought this up. I'm glad that was one you brought up, because I had some friends that went to Lubbock in the fall, and they were recommended to go exactly there because of that exact reason. Explain that maybe that for people, like the phenomenon with that, because I didn't realize that until my friends were telling me, like, that's a big deal up there in Lubbock.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think not a lot of people just would realize that prairie dogs love to dig holes, and we have a lot of desert land, so they would, you know, it's a perfect place for them to go dig holes, and, you know, they're actually really cute, but I heard that they're not so nice, so I've never actually tried to pet one, but they look really cute from afar, so.
Well, better be safe than, you know, better be played, gal, you're safe on that. That's pretty good. All right, that's a good recommendation. describe what did you learn from playing in the Big 12? What is it like to play Big 12 softball?
I would say that you have to be mentally tough and you have to, you know, have a next pitch mentality. Definitely a lot, because there's always things that, you know, don't go your way. And if you keep dwelling on it, then it's going to catch up to you. And, you know, if you can't make changes and you can't make adjustments quickly, then the game's going to catch up to you really quickly.
Do you remember your first practice as a freshman there? And take me through that, as, you know, because obviously you have a new coach. Coach Snyder, you know, is trying to learn the players. The players are trying to learn him. You're trying to win a spot, which, spoiler, you ended up more than just winning a spot. But what was that like? I mean, because you mentioned it. This wasn't the original plan. You weren't planning on playing for Coach Snyder. It just kind of worked out that way. But, you know, you've got to, you know, win a job. You got to prove to him and the coaching staff that, hey, I deserve to play. So take us through that process.
So I don't exactly remember what that first day was exactly like or what we did, but I do remember that I was very nervous, you know, as one would be as a freshman coming in. I had honestly no idea what to expect, but the upperclassmen really took me under their wing, and I talked to Kennedy Kreitz a lot. She knows, she has experience in the Big 12. And so I would go to her for a lot of things and like ask her a bunch of questions, and we would talk back and forth about a lot of things. And yeah, so I think she really was there, you know, to help me get over my nerves that I had. And then after we had the tumbleweed contest, I think that was like, I calmed down after that. Cause I was like, this is cool. I need to, you know, take all of this in one moment and quit being so nervous. I just knew I needed to like live in the moment after that. Cause I was like, who else is doing that? Nobody. Nobody that I've ever seen is doing a tumbleweed contest at practice. So.
All right. I have to follow up. I went tumbleweed. First I've heard of tumbleweed. What is a tumbleweed, practice there? What does that entail?
So, I think it was the first week of the fall last year, Coach Snyder comes out and we have this thing called gate, is where we talk about, you know, the practice plan and what's going to go on before then. And he comes to us and he's like, team, you know, I think we need to do a tumbleweed contest. And then he explains the concept of a tumbleweed. And, you know, when a tumbleweed grows and then it eventually dies, it rolls all over the place and you're like, oh, that's annoying, but it has seeds that it sprouts everywhere. So it's still growing and it's still, you know, spreading all of the seeds everywhere. And then there's new sprouts and whatnot. And he like related it back to the team. And then we had a tumbleweed contest and he was mentioning how, you know, doing this tumbleweed contest means that, you know, you're all in for the team, even though tumbleweeds and softball have nothing to do with each other. It was the concept of for the team that really, you know, the tumbleweed contest. And we were like, okay, you know, and everyone went out. And that next Monday we had tumbleweeds and we actually still have them in our front yard because we did it again this year.
Who's won these contests or these two of years?
Actually I did last year.
Ooh.
And this year D. McClarity won the tumbleweed contest.
What's the key to winning this contest?
I think knowing people who have big cars and trunks.
I feel like you just let a big dark secret there, you know, the passage there. All right, well, that's pretty fascinating. But it sounds like it was a great – it worked from a team bonding standpoint, which it sounds like what Coach Snyder wanted to accomplish as well.
Yes, yes.
Do you have a favorite memory from a game or a moment that you from last season?
I think when we beat OSU, when we call her Pecan, when Pecan walked it off, and everybody was, you know, obviously cheering and happy. And then that next week, the national photo of the week came out, and it was her hugging Henry, Coach Snyder's son, and I think that was just like the aspect of, you know, our entire team is family. And I think that really, you know, solidified it and it was super cool to see.
Do you remember, what do you remember of the day when you found out you won the Freshman of the Year in the Big 12? There's been some famous softball players that have won that award in the Big 12, and you get to join that that illustrious list. What do you remember when you were and when you find out?
We were at the end of practice. He was, you know, talking to us and was like, okay, you know, good practice, guys. We, you know, did good today. We all hit good, whatever. And then he mentioned that I had won, and I was shocked in a way. And then I couldn't control myself, and I started crying because it was overwhelming. It was nice to hear. Definitely. I was very shocked. I didn't even know, like, I wasn't even thinking about it, honestly.
Really?
I was just, yeah, you know. It wasn't really in my mind even. So I think that's why when he told me it, like, it kind of hit me hard.
Rightfully so. You had a great year there. Was it just one of those things, just what is even in your thought, or you just didn't think you had a chance to win it, or why do you think it was one of those things you just didn't think of the award stuff? You were thinking about maybe the next practice and the next game.
Yeah, no, I was just going through, you know, practicing, and I don't really try to think about any of those types of things. I mean, they're nice to, you know, have and get, but at the end of the day, I try not to think about those things because it can get in your head.
Were you able to tell your family and, or did they already know by the time you reached out to them?
I did call my mom after that, and she was crying as well.
That's a special moment there. It makes a ton of sense there. Yeah. You're still young, so I don't know. Do you know what you want to do post softball in your life? Do you have plan? Are you still figuring that out?
I'm still figuring it out. There's a few things that I have in mind, but at the end of the day, I truly have no idea.
Do you have a major right now? What's your major if you have one?
Animal science.
Ooh, okay. Very good. What's your favorite thing about play? What's the favorite part about softball that you just enjoy the most?
The competitive nature of myself and everyone around me. Like everybody, every pitch, everything that we say is super competitive, and I love that. I love, you know, I am truly one of those people that, you know, feels for other people when they have success. I love seeing other people have success just as much as my own. So, like, if I were to do bad, but my teammate were to do super well, I'd be like, heck yeah, and give her a high five. I'd be like, you did so good today. Good job. I try to be that person when it comes to things like that, because it doesn't make me think about how I did. Because it really doesn't, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter how I did. It matters how the team did. So, you know, if I can lift somebody up, if they're doing bad or anything like that, then I think I did my job.
Give that positive feedback, right? Give encouragement keep that person upbeat. And, you know, that's so important in the sport like softball. Because as you know, there's more failures than success. Doesn't matter how good you are. And that's important to keep that in mind and that positive mindset moving with each game, because it's not every game's going to go your way, or every, you know, at bat's not going to go your way. So that's a big factor in having success, isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
When people go see Texas Tech softball this year in 2024, whether it be at home in Lubbock or, you know, in various places you're going to be playing this year, and in particular going to open up in Tallahassee to start the season, that's a marquee tournament there for opening weekend. What do you want people to see and know about Texas Tech softball 2024?
I want people to know that we're still the same team that we were last year. And I think that, honestly, I think that we, you know, have a lot of talent on this team. And I'm super excited for everybody to, you know, come out and see us, watch us play. And so we can showcase that talent and show everybody what we're truly about.
A lot of good success stories going on campus too. Football going to a bowl game, baseball, obviously it's great tradition and history there. Men's basketball having a good season. Do you all go together? Do you go to these sporting events? And as fellow players, do you feed off of that? Like other student athletes doing well?
Yes, definitely. Like I try and go to as many other, you know, sporting events as I can, but like every sport I feel like is so I don't know, we're all friends with each other in a way, even though we don't play the same sport, but we're always together, whether it's like working out together at the same time or we go eat together at the same place. Like we're always together, and there's always people in other sports supporting other sports, which I think is really, really nice to see and really nice to feel the love from other people and knowing that everybody on campus has your back too. That's like, for instance, our women's basketball team played yesterday and they won. Whoop, whoop. And the entire volleyball team had made signs pregame and was sitting in the front row cheering them on. So
nice. That's pretty good. What's your favorite sport to attend?
Oh, no.
Ah, that's all right. The lights are out. That's all right. What's your favorite sport here as we wrap up here?
I love watching volleyball. You know, rightfully so. I played it.
It goes full circle. Well, make sure they all come to your games too, right? It's got to be a two-way street there and support you because you've earned that very much. Hey, thank you for doing this. Thanks for taking the time from a busy schedule after coming out of practice. And, hey, congrats on the success you've had to this point. You earned that award last year. And good luck this year. Stay healthy. And thanks for telling your story to us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
And thanks again to Kaylee Whitecoff for joining us, which she did it from, like, that incredible facilities that Texas Tech has for softball. It was like, wow, it was pretty impressive. The lights kind of went out towards the end of the interview there, but it was good.
Yeah.
So I didn't get a chance to tell her this during the interview because I told her what, you know, about the winning the freshman of the year in the Big 12 is like a big deal. It's like a who's who that's won this award. I didn't have the list with me when I talked to her. So I hope that either she is listening to this portion of the podcast or family members are listening, because I want to read off the company that she has for the Big 12 that won freshman of the year. Are you ready for this? I'm not going to read all of them. I'm going to read some of them. I'm going to start out, for example, 2002. Young freshman named Kat Osterman.
Turned out she had a pretty good career.
Yeah. Some would call her, I don't know, the GOAT.
Yes.
Maybe, arguably, maybe the greatest player that's ever played in the Big 12. I mean, you're talking about a hot, fun topic. That's a fun one. I think she's right up there. Other notables, Sharonda McDonald, Texas A&M. That was 2004. 2005. Amanda Scarborough won freshman of the year in 05 for A&M. Kristen Shortage, Baylor 07, Whitney Canyon 2009, Blair Luna, Texas 2010. Pretty good. Helped Texas get to a World Series throughout the career.
Yep.
Lauren Chamberlain, Oklahoma. Think she did pretty well.
Enough said.
Shay Knighton, Oklahoma. Jocelyn Allo, Oklahoma. You get a sense here.
I sense a theme here, sir.
And then, of course, the last couple prior to Wyckoff, Tiari Jennings and Jordy Ball. So Kaylee Wyckoff, are you ready for this? She ended a streak of Oklahoma winning freshman of the year exclusively from 2016 to 2022. Now, obviously, there was not one in 2020.
Right.
There wasn't their 20 season. Now, Paige Parker shared the freshman of the year in 2015 with Daniela Chavez of Kansas in 2015. So you had a Sooner involved in the award from 2015 to 2022. That was snapped by Kaylee Whitecoff last year.
Wow.
That tells you a lot, man. That's a credit to her. Wow. Tip your cap to her. So I wanted to mention that. Because I think that is, again, as I told her, that is valuable. And she's the first Red Raider to ever win freshman of the year.
Well, it kind of tells you the talent that Coach Snyder is bringing into Lubbock. And she's going to have some reinforcements coming in with her for 2024. Coach Snyder added some transfers of Aubie Barnhart and Jenna Lord, both who have experience playing in marquee conferences, both of them transferring over from the SEC. And he also has a freshman in Michaela Madrid, who had a phenomenal senior year over at Steele High School, where all she did was hit 404, bang out 20 home runs, and had 75 RBIs throughout her career. So she's going to be a perfect fit for the very favorable conditions at Rocky Johnson Field. And with Texas Tech, now the next step with them, they got the 31 wins that you referenced 1 year ago. Now being competitive and getting those victories against your rivals in the Big 12. If you can do that, and you heard me mention after the Snyder, Coach Snyder interview, that three series stretch to end the season, Oklahoma State, Houston, Texas, those first two being on a row. If you win a couple of those series, you could find yourself in contention to make an NCAA tournament going into the Big 12 tournament in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, he surprised a lot of people in the Big 12, and you know, and maybe kind of follow the same script that Grant McCaslin's currently doing with Texas Tech men's basketball. They're having a great season,
mm-hmm.
As they surprised many people in the basketball court there, and carry some positive momentum, sort of like that famous alum they have on the football side. I don't know if you heard of him, Victor. Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes. Yeah, I heard he's playing in some game in Las Vegas in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. So it's good to be him right there, right
Very
now.
Very good to be him.
So it should be a lot of fun on that. So we'll see. We'll see. It should be interesting. Texas Tech. I think I'm keeping an eye on the pitching to see how that develops. That could determine a lot.
Got a new pitching coach there at Texas Tech. If they can kind of develop those arms and develop that staff, I think Texas Tech, they have themselves an opportunity to have another solid season. And again, maybe play themselves in the postseason contention.
Well, and of course you have the ties with Florida State, Victor, on that staff. And as we mentioned earlier, Florida State, Texas Tech. That's going to be fascinating for him. How he, you know, what's that going to be like for him and his staff going back to Joanne Graff Field, where he wanted, you know, obviously he was there for a long time as an assistant. Mm-hmm. They won the national title in 2018. I met him there, you know, so I mean, that's going to be fascinating. That opening weekend with has Charlotte as well, a sneaky good tournament.
Yep. Charlotte, who made a tournament last year under, Ashley Chastain. That's going to be a very interesting tournament that opening weekend. So I'm thrilled to see how Texas Tech fares, especially with Coach Snyder dealing with matching wits with Coach over on the other dugout.
All right, so that'll do it for this episode. Thanks to Jay Strader, Sports Information. Shout out to him at Lubbock there at Texas Tech for helping us set up this interview. Shout out to Craig Snyder. Shout out to Kaylee Wyckoff. Shout out to the Kaylee Wyckoff family and friends that may tune into the podcast. I have a feeling there's going to be a few.
There'll be a few.
Shout out to Patrick Mahomes.
Of course.
Or Shannon Sharp calls him Mahomey.
Mahomey, yes.
Am I allowed to say that? Or is that a Shannon Sharp, exclusive there? I don't know.
I have no idea. We have not been invited to Club Shay Shay, as of this recording.
All right, well. Shout out to the Big 12, who's helping us obviously push all this content on their social media platforms. Where can people find the Big 12?
At Big 12 Conference, ladies and gentlemen. Follow them there. And you can follow them on Twitter, follow them on X, follow them on Instagram, follow them on Facebook, and you'll have all the information available for you, as well as the Big 12 preseason poll and all preseason team.
And of course, if you've missed any of our episodes, we've had Baylor, BYU, Iowa State, Kansas already out there in episodes. Make sure you catch up with those as we caught up with Glenn Moore, Baylor head coach, as well as their All-American Govan on their star player. Of course, we had Matty Bejarano for BYU, Gordon Eakin, Jamie Pinkerton. Speaking of Patrick Mahomes, he's a Chiefs fan, but he also
going against Michael Ochoa as well.
Outfielder. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Star outfielder, Jennifer McFalls.
Yep.
And we're not even close to done.
No, ladies and gentlemen.
In fact, we're going to stay in the state.
We are.
For the next episode, Victor.
We are. We're going to go talk a little to Houston. Houston softball. I'm going to talk with friend of the podcast, head coach Kristen Fesley, and Tariah Coleman, who made an immediate impact for the Cougar program in her first year for the Cougs in 2023. Look to have bigger things in 2024. So we will stay in this day. We'll talk about Houston Cougar softball on the next episode of Big 12 Media Week here on Insert.
All right, that'll do it for this episode. For Victor Anderson, I'm Eric Lopez. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of In the Circle.
Top podcasters out. Good night, Lubbock.